When it comes to making your dreams come true, it helps to chase after them ruthlessly. Unless your dream is to be in a relationship, then you just might want to cool your jets a little bit.
You gotta put the dress in the window, but don't force someone to wear it. Unless they're into forced feminization. Today, comedian Rachel Hall joins us to talk about the ruthless pursuit of romance and how to get into a relationship when it seems no one is interested in you.
Plus, gender-bending Halloween costumes for fierce black women.
Instagram influencer Jeremy says he's being bullied for posting a photo at the beach with disgraced Republican ex-congressman Aaron Schock.
Why telling someone they're ugly might get you fired.
And avocado hand. Stabbing your hand while trying to remove the pit from an avocado is a common emergency room problem.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Feast of Fun is made possible because of fierce, fabulous listeners like you. Visit us at feastoffun.com/plus and become a premium member to listen to over 15 seasons of legendary podcasts.
If you like Feast of Fun, check out a new comedy podcast called Shame on You, hosted by two single gay guys who are on a journey to zero shame through extreme vulnerability. This raw journey of self-exploration includes interviews with their ex-boyfriends, fuck buddies, one-night stands, their moms, and more.
The show has grown from 200 listeners in week one to over 10,000 in just 4 months. New episodes Thursday on all players, and if you're in New York City, they'll be doing a live show August 24th, 9:30 p.m. at the Green Room 42. Listen to Shame on You wherever fine podcasts are found. That is the mother of hip-hop, Millie Jackson, grabbing men's dicks in the Apollo, singing her hit song, Something You Can Feel.
Can you feel it?
Can you feel it? Today, we are talking about chasing your dreams, even when other people raise an eyebrow for you chasing your dreams. Our guest is comedian Rachel Hall.
Hi.
Who feels like sometimes, you know, she's too busy chasing the dreams and the dreams aren't chasing her.
Yeah, yeah. As I feel both ways about it. I feel like I'm not. I often feel like, and by often I mean I always feel
all
like I'm not doing enough to get the things that I want. But then, like when I'm speaking to like mentor type people, where they're like, "Bitch, you busy as hell." Like I don't understand. What do you mean you're not doing anything?
So they're saying that you need to open up space for opportunities and relationships and dreams to pop in.
And see, I feel like I'm not doing that enough. But, you know, I'm like producing two shows and I have the stuff at the Laugh Factory and I'm doing like still like
you're
class
regular on Feast of Fun, the most important podcast in the universe
on Earth.
Yes, pioneering. Yes. 15 years. Original generation. Yes, honey.
Season.
When we first started podcasting, there were 40
shows. Suck it, Ricky
shows.
Gervais.
So, he went around. I'm like, Ricky Gervais, who?
Well, because he claims he's like
he was
the
an early
start
adopter,
of the party.
But he was no, we predated Ricky Gervais.
So when you see Millie Jackson in this vintage video of
grabbing
her,
dicks,
she's stopping the song and she's looking at the mostly, you know, mature seniors in the audience.
Middle-aged and above.
Yeah.
And these guys grew up listening to the, you know, the godmother of hip-hop, soul, disco. R&B diva, Millie Jackson. And they're grooving to her, and she's like, let me grab some of these dicks.
My favorite part about that clip of her singing, at least that part, because clearly that's when then she likes to go in the audience and have fun or whatever. My favorite part is... not only are the women in the audience who are sitting right next to him, they're like, yeah, grab my husband's dick. I don't care. they're whatever. But then the guys are like, they're acting like they don't care, but they're sitting back and like letting that man spread just a little bit more. And it's like, what? They're trying to act like, oh, this is nothing. No, this is this, whatever. I don't really. But it's like, it's very clearly that they're like, please come grab my dick. Please come grab my dick.
Oh, there's a guy in the video. She's like, sit your ass down. I'm not grabbing your dick.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's just like a skinny old guy.
He probably followed her around, like from every city, was like, let me get in the front so Millie can touch my dick. Like, he was probably that guy. And she was just like, Curtis, he here again? Ugh, get him out of here.
I thought that there was nothing there. Just sit down.
Well, it's a very brave thing to do as a performer because, you know, in a lot of ways, Millie is in control, right?
Oh, but she's, 100%.
As a woman, she is putting herself in, you know, girl, you're in danger, right? So you're crossing this line, sexual action with your audience, right? And you're grabbing their junk in front of cameras.
And the cameraman's dick.
Yeah.
She grabbed the cameraman's dick too. She looked at the camera and then went for the cameraman's dick and backed up. It was so good.
Does she have a bodyguard? I mean,
no.
I can't see anybody
there.
It was
the 80s. Who has bodyguards?
Oh, that was done in the 80s?
I think it was like the 80s or 90s, wasn't it?
She's okay. Just walking around the Apollo Theater and she's just doing what she feels like it, and everybody's having a good time.
Judging by the shoulder pads.
And all it takes is one asshole to ruin your day.
But that just goes back to like, you could, there's things that you can do in different decades. And like, if you were to do that now, mm-hmm. Oh my God, the uproar. It just would have been like, how dare you? And then it really been a whole bunch of him twos and Brett Kavanaugh's and I like all that bullshit. It would have been all that men. I'm da da da. But if you do that, if you were doing that now, the man that's in the presidency, that Dorito, on tape, grab my pussy. Like, yeah. Now so everyone's like, oh my God, you can't do that.
Do you feel like Millie funny. Jackson is taking advantage of those men, or do you feel like those were different times and it was appropriate behavior for the time being?
I don't know if it was appropriate behavior, but I will say, I think what she was doing was doing what the men did to women. Just
she's
on
flipping
camera.
The tables.
Yeah. Because if you listen to a lot of those old school songs, like if you actually listen to the lyrics, my mom used to tell me to stop listening to lyrics because I'd be like, Mama, do you know what this song is about? Like, this is sexual harassment. Do you hear what he's saying? She'd be like, Rachel, stop listening to the lyrics.
Just,
I'm like,
just enjoy the song.
That's what they're there for. But if it was just her doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she probably took it a little bit further by literally just saying, let me grab your dick.
And I think that's part of like,
it's like an SNL sketch.
What I want to talk about is that sometimes we live in a world right now where a lot of people are not self-actualized. They're not pursuing their dreams, and they get to the, and when you don't pursue your dreams, honey, those dreams bottle up inside you and they're about to burst. And sometimes, you know, you do things that are hurtful to other people. You cross the line because you're so hungry. You're so thirsty. You're going to grab somebody's dick. And they don't want you grabbing their dick.
No, that's because, I don't know, people today get on my nerves. Like, not y'all listening, but
other folks.
Other people. I always say people are mm-hmm. the most annoying things on the planet. I cannot stand people. Individuals are beautiful human beings and I will have to get to know more. But people, fuck them.
You need to come with me to the next year's Pride Parade.
I didn't get to go to Pride this year because I was at work.
And have the experience of coming face to face with at least 100,000 people. And at the end of that, you're like, you know what? Humanity is good. After
That's
everything.
How I always feel after a Pride Parade. After a Pride Parade, I didn't get to go this year because I was at work. Damn it. I was in the aftermath trying to go mm-hmm. home on the train. But like after Pride Parades, I always feel like, humanity is okay. Like, we're going to be great. Like, it's going to be fine. I thought the world was crumbling, but like, now I see how like in unison we can all be in all this jazz. But pride isn't every day, unfortunately.
It's going to be okay. But you know, those people are still there. And as Mr. Rogers says, you know, when you see trouble, look for the helpers. There's always somebody there to help.
Mr. Rogers, God bless him.
He lives in all of us. You know, yeah. We can be that person.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in terms of chasing your dreams, I think sometimes we're like discouraged or ridiculed for having dreams in the first place. Mm-hmm. Coco Peru hilariously said one time, like, may all your dreams come true. Unless they're shitty dreams, then I really hope they don't come true. In fact, they better not come true, and you should have better dreams.
That's facts. Truth.
And part of it is, like, I think it's healthy to talk about your ambitions and desires with people that you trust.
Okay. Yes. With who you trust.
You know, because for me, like, bodybuilding, as an example, is something that as a little gay boy has been something very embarrassing and very difficult to talk about because it's tied to my sexuality. And throughout, I'm no spring chicken now, but it's like 25 years old, you know, throughout my life, I've been struggling in trying to embrace that side of my desire and pursuit. And I don't know if I'm necessarily any good at it, but it's something that makes me really happy and makes me very excited. And it's something that I chase.
Right.
And Mark sometimes feels that sometimes it's opposite. Better to let the dream chase you. What do you mean by that, Mark?
Well, I mean, in regards
what do
to,
you mean
to,
by
to
that?
Men, sometimes I would feel like any kind of guy that maybe I would have pursued or something like that is just like, back the fuck off. You know, I'm not into it. But, you know, if you're just there and then they just, you know, they come to you. You know what I mean? So it's like you're just the honey in that little trap.
Right.
The fly, whereas, you know, it's just, they're already there for you.
Are you saying that there's a value to sort of like creating space for those opportunities to arise naturally so then you can just meditate and be at peace with your existence? And so,
I mean, sure. I just like, listen, if you want it,
or are you
it's
just
here,
like a privileged little, right. You're the youngest born in your family, and you're privileged, and everybody hands everything to you. And so you don't even know what it means to work hard for the money. So you better treat her right.
Jealous much?
He's a middle child.
No, I mean, so like in regards to what you were saying, I do think it's important to like share your dreams and your ambitions with whatever with people you trust. I strongly believe that it is stupid to walk around telling every single person around you what your hopes and dreams are, because you don't know who's out there plotting against you. Keep some things to. I do believe in privacy, and things like that. You don't know. People smile in your face all day long, and as soon as you walk away, you'd be like, "This bitch, you see one?" Like, you know what I mean? So I think it's very important to like pick and choose who you share those kind of things with. I always say, like, I hate icebreakers at work, like any sort of icebreaker where they're like, stand up, tell everyone your name, and like, where you came from, how old are you, and like, give us something fun about yourself. Like, fuck that. No, I'm not doing any of that. Because I've always felt like getting to know me is a privilege, not a requirement. So, no.
Well, if you want to buy the dress, you got to put it in the window, girl.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And you know, elevator pitches are helpful because just like a tweet, it's about getting inviting people to
see you.
But do you walk up to new people and you go, hi, my name is Mark, and I just want to know, what were you like when you were 5? What the fuck? Get away from me. No.
That is very bullshit.
That is a
shit,
privilege. Yeah. It is a privilege to know those type of things. If you want like surface level things, okay, that's fine. That's whatever. But if you want to like get to know the inner workings of a person, that is a privilege and is not a requirement. And you can't make me do it because I'm at work.
So what's a good icebreaker for a new coworker or a new person you just met?
Just be cool. Like, I don't
like what's your go-to conversation question? One thing I like to say, do you have anything exciting planned for the weekend?
Yeah, that's
fine. And people
fine.
Are like, girl, I'm going to get so drunk, I'm going to be late to work on Monday.
And
honey.
That right there in itself is a reason to talk. Oh, where are you going? Okay, that's cool. See, I've never been there before. See, I'm new here. Blah, 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 blah. That's a conversation. But to literally start a conversation, ugh. One thing I hate about these fucking dating apps, besides the fact that I have to be on a damn dating app, when they immediately text me back, so tell me about yourself. No, what? Do you want a pair? Like, what? Do you want a bio? I have a comedy bio.
Just say, I have a moist vagina that needs to be eaten out.
I mean, don't we all? But yeah, like that, those like broad, is that in itself makes
it's
me go,
much.
You're not actually listening to anything that I have to say anyway. I'm just going to go ahead and unmatch this right now.
Oh, really? You're so,
well, you want to be whacker. you want it to take it cool. You want it to come across natural, right? You want it to progress like a normal human conversation.
Right.
It's not like you're not. They're treating it as though it's speed dating. It's like,
exactly.
What's
it's
the
weird.
Pressure here?
I'm know? Not on sale at Target. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not. I'm what the fuck? It's like
didn't Eartha Kitt say, "Sell me and maybe I'll buy."
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. She said a lot of things.
She said, like, something that seeks its level, I want to go to the devil.
But, like, I always say, like, I don't know much about, like, dating relationships and, like, how all that stuff works. But in my brain, mm-hmm. all I can say is, to me, it makes sense to say, I'm not... If you go into a relationship saying, I'm looking for a boyfriend, mm-hmm. I'm looking for a husband, I'm
you
looking
want
for
an
that,
object.
It's weird. To me, it makes more sense to say, well, we're friends. Like, I'm not looking for a boyfriend first. I'm looking for a friend. And then from that friend, then maybe I'm looking from that boyfriend. And then from the boyfriend, well, then maybe I'm looking into the future from there. Like, there's steps to things. You can't go from 0 to 60. Like, literally. No,
so you think
even
Millie
cars
Jackson's,
don't go 0 to 60.
Well, so you think Millie Jackson approach of going up to an audience member, grabbing their dick to see if she wants to
if
sit on
it. If that's what you want, if you're just trying to fuck, I mean, be honest. And well, I always say that too with dating apps, like, be honest. If yeah. you don't sit here and be like, oh yeah, I'm looking. Yeah. You know, girl, I'm looking for a friend first. You know, I just want to see where this goes. But in all actuality, all you wanted to do was fuck from just say that. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of women who are honestly on there also looking to fuck. I don't know why this whole charade, this game that people play. I've never been someone that plays games. Like, I don't do
they
it.
Want a friend, they want somebody to fuck, they want a boyfriend, they want a girlfriend, they want all of it.
And that means you don't know what you want, you need to be by yourself.
I
want to
read this late night hookup story gone wrong.
Oh, they all go wrong.
So this is in New Jersey. She's accused of burning down a man's house after he invited her over for late night sex. He fell asleep. And so when she got to his house, ding dong, he didn't hear.
There
her
was
the
no
door.
Ding dong.
There was no ding and no dong.
Now, did she know this guy? Has she hooked up with
she
this guy?
She had hooked
before?
With him before.
Okay, so yeah. She wasn't being catfished.
So Taija was arrested on Tuesday in connection with a fire that destroyed the man's home.
Good. She's stupid.
And
no
she
sympathy.
Was. He awoke at 4:30 a.m. to find flames blocking the exit of his home and escaped by jumping out a window. She was mad as hell, and she had gone to the corner store and bought some lighter fluid, some matches, and set the front of his door on fire to scare him. And she texted him before, I want to see you die.
Here's my question for
Taija.
Tangini, whatever the fuck her name is. If you really wanted to get, first of all, no dick on earth is worth it. Not. You no, there is no dick on earth that is that good, first of all. But if you just was really trying to get dick,
yeah,
and you just was like, you know what, he's like answering, I'm gonna go to the store. Why wouldn't you just buy a crowbar and open up the door and then wake his and be like, hey, wake up,
yeah,
and then it'd be like, oh shit, why'd you do this? Clearly, he knew she was crazy.
That's why he didn't answer the door.
That's why you don't
he
stick
felt,
your dick
no, that's
in crazy.
Not why he didn't open the door. But she's probably good at head or something. I don't know.
You don't put your genitals, stick your dick in crazy, or let crazy inside you. It's
exactly. But
well,
men do stupid
no matter
things.
How listen, hot crazy people need sex, too. And if you spend a moment on Grindr or any kind of hookup, you know, you're having... Listen... People with mental health issues have sexual drives too.
Deserve
and
love.
Exactly.
A lot of them are on your hookup apps.
My
so
guess
eventually
is.
Eventually you are going to have sex with somebody.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
My guess is he knew
and
she was crazy
okay.
from jump. Mm-hmm. And she was probably like, he like it when I act like this. So, bitch, why not just go get a crowbar and just open the door?
We understand that. You
fuck,
want them to,
why
you
not
want her
get
to break
a rock
in.
And throw it through the window? If you just have to be destructive, now you're going to jail for arson and mm-hmm. attempted murder, bitch. That's on you.
When God closes a door,
he burns down your window.
The devil burns down the house. That's, I guess that's how it goes.
The sound of music. But it's a goddamn door. It's a window.
No,
break it open,
no,
you know?
And also,
and that's a metaphor that I'm trying to inspire upon others. When God closes a door,
burn down the house.
You grab yourself a crowbar and you open up a window and you get inside somehow. And you get that dick.
Fair, depending on what we're talking about. But like, that's her fault and that's his fault. They were both equally. I mean, clearly she was more wrong than he was. He was asleep.
Yeah.
that's not, I mean, like, but he fell asleep. That happens. People fall asleep. There's no dick on earth.
I'm sorry. If I'm expecting a hookup and they fall asleep on me, that's, you know, that's their last. I'm not. No,
that's it. We're never
doing this again. Because a lot of times it's, you know, I fell asleep means they hooked up with somebody else. Somebody else got there first.
Exactly.
And, you know, and that's okay. That can happen, but...
That's why on the Price is Right, you bid $1 and everybody's bidding too high.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that when it comes to dick, you bid $1. Yeah. You don't go for the prettiest one. You go for the one that's nearby.
Are you saying lower your standards?
Maybe a little bit. Be flexible.
Eh.
No. Keep it high. Let me rephrase the question.
Do not ever lower your standards.
Don't lower your standards. What about your relationship?
Listen, but if your standards are ridiculously high, like, you got to be realistic. Most people aren't realistic in their dreams, and their hopes, and their standards, and their anything. Most people are living, walking around thinking they are Beyonce, Janelle Knowles Carter, and they're Latavia. So, your standards, some people's standards are ridiculously high.
Now, when you're on your
mine are crazy low already. So
on your straight dating apps, do you get a lot of people like with their profiles that say "be realistic"? Because they do that. I've seen that a lot on the gay dating apps and stuff like that. The hookup.
I've seen that a few times, but it's usually guys will try to code it. They're just like, no, actually, really, what they'll do is what I'll see is they'll describe themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, they'll just kind of like drop hints of like what they do in their own lives. And it's like, okay, so that's what you're looking for. They'll be like, physically fit. And I like to go on my, and it's like, so you want someone that looks like that.
Like attracts like often, sometimes opposite attracts, but.
Would you date somebody?
I judge people off their photos more than anything.
Are you willing to date somebody, Mark and Rachel? Would you guys be willing to have sex with somebody who is diametrically opposed to your values, especially politically? Would you be willing to have sex with like Republican,
like a Trump supporter?
No,
I mean, they wouldn't have sex with me either.
Even if they're really, really hot.
That's not true, though.
I don't give a fuck how hot they are. You could be Dwayne The Rock Johnson. You walk in here with a MAGA hat, you can walk your ass right back outside. No.
Because I know, man, this is where the, you know, I don't want to sound like an 80s stand-up comedian talking about gender difference, but it's like, I know a lot of guys who would kill their own mother for some good dick. And women are not willing to do that. And I noticed that it's
women,
like,
women make more sense sometimes.
Yeah. There's a little bit of a lot, you know, and that part of it is that when you're not chasing your dreams build up inside, and then you have sex that later on you're like,
regretful.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. And see, I don't ever want to have regret sex. I don't want to be like, fuck, I don't even want to fuck you. Why did I do that? I don't ever want to do that. I would never have someone, like, if I'm not fucking a Trump supporter, because here's it, at the end of the day, if you are that, if your views on everything are that much different than mine, like that extreme difference in mine, the only reason why you want to fuck me is because you have a fetish for black girls.
But what,
and I am not a fetish. I am not a fetish.
What if it's a black guy who is a Trump supporter?
He's a liar and he's upset about a lot of things. He's
a
liar.
Mental health.
And black Trump supporters aren't married to black people. They're all married to white women. Every single one.
Well, all right. So you were saying you judge these men by their photos online.
Yeah. Okay. So if I'm looking on there, right, and you have, you know, you get to put however many photos, whatever. If every single one of your photos is you and a group of people, no.
Why?
I don't know who you
are.
Because
they're always the ugly one, right?
It's not even that they're always the ugly one.
And the gay apps.
I'm never sure which one you are.
And the gay apps, it's like you see a group of people.
7 out of 10 times it's the ugly one.
And it's always just the ugly one. Like, literally. Like, if it's two people, you're like, for sure it's the ugly one. You're never surprised.
It's a trap. It's like,
it's a trap, yeah.
Because they go,
you don't know what you're getting.
Oh, your friend is really attractive. Even if you know that it is, then they're like, oh, you just want to sleep with my hot friend and not me. And you're like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's why you put them on there.
And this is sometimes, it's like,
that's why you put them on there.
These conversations.
You think by you standing next to someone who's more attractive than you are, it's going to rub off. That's not how it works.
Mm-hmm. What about guys?
It's the other way around.
What about guys who are just, they're shirtless in every photo, and every photo is them alone in some exotic location or some rich hotel?
No.
Like an Instagram influencer.
Mm-hmm. No, that means you just wanted like you just want someone who's equally as pretty as you are to take Instagram photos with. I have nothing to do with that. If you're black and you have a whole bunch of group photos and there are no other black people in any other groups, I know you're looking for a white girl.
Okay.
And what about people who have photos like their group photos and everybody's faces are blacked out or blurred out? Besides them,
I appreciate that they're like, I liked how I looked in this photo, mm-hmm. but I still want you to know this was me. So I'm gonna take everyone okay. else's photo out. I'm just kind of like, okay, that's
or
fair.
You can crop it out.
Yeah,
not always.
Men, straight men do not know how to take photos.
No, they don't
of themselves.
It's gotten much
so
better.
It makes it.
Yeah.
Really difficult. Mm-hmm. My God. Like, straight men, just look in the mirror and just look at yourself and then hold the camera up and see what's like.
Well, that's the
my
thing about
God.
It is, like,
you can't keep taking all your photos from below your chin and looking straight down. Like, you will all, I don't, if Dwayne The Rock Johnson will look bad from that angle. You're yeah. not being fair to yourself.
That's the thing about, like, Instagram has sort of blurred the lines between sort of the desire to succeed in show business, mm-hmm. like the Instagram influencers, and just treating it as a hookup app. And I think it's kind of an interesting space right now because, you know, like, people are, like, wanting careers in entertainment or mm-hmm. media, and people are just horny and looking for dick, are kind of like blurring the lines.
That's because they don't want a career in entertainment. They don't want an actual job. I think most media influencers, and I get it that it can be a job, and there's like a science to social media and blah blah blah. I get that, but I do feel like the majority of millennials who are influencers weren't smart enough to get a job.
I know a lot of successful comedians that, you know, leverage their careers very well because they do so well on Instagram. Mateo Lane is one example of that.
Social media, this is one of these things where I know I have to, like, be better at it. I literally said, I was talking to my producer for our show, Laughish, on Instagram, also at the Laugh Factory, every first Thursday. Anyway,
thank you. 5:30?
5:30.
Live, right?
Live.
Central.
Yeah. Yes, Central Standard Time.
3:30 on
But we
California
put it up
Coast.
After that so you guys can watch it whenever you want. But he's the social media manager also for the Laugh Factory. And just talking with him, I've learned a lot about how social media works. And y'all know I can't stand social media. However, I do know that when it comes to, like, this entertainment stuff, people look at it. They, for whatever reason, care how many people are stalking you on the internet. And...
Well, they want to know how many people are going to show up.
They want to know how many people are going to show up. And so I get that. But then you, when it comes to, like, the entertainment, especially in comedy, you get a lot of people who are Instagram comedians and they have so many followers. You put them on a stage and they bomb.
Suck. Yeah. And so anyways, in terms of, like, conservatives and dating people that are diametrically opposed, you know, and when it comes to social media, I think sometimes we see. We have this phenomena of hate horniness where, like, you love to hate somebody.
Yeah, why?
And you're following them because you're just like, kind of like, and I notice this, like, half of Kim Kardashian's fans are that way. Aaron Schock is one of those people, the former representative, who, I guess this week, his sexy friend, Jeremy Cormier.
Yes.
Who's very loaded. All his photos are him at some expensive beach hotel somewhere. And I know those hotels aren't paying for it. Is speaking out after experiencing bullying and personal hatred on a level that he would not want to wish on anyone for simply posting a photo of himself with disgraced former Republican Congressman Aaron Schock. Cormier said, I realize the post I made the other day has gotten a lot of attention and raised questions about what I stand for. I'd like to address that right now.
Is he the center square?
Talks like Paul Lynde in real life. Among other things, it's been assumed that my sole goal in life is to be an Instagram influencer, in quotations.
That's
and
sad.
While I never claimed that, if I ever were to try and influence anyone, it would be to do something good. So here's what I have to say about the controversy. Aaron Schock and I became friends just a year ago. I do not now or ever have shared or supported his views concerning LGBTQ rights while in Congress. Knowing him is to know someone whose viewpoint has grown and changed significantly in the last decade. To effect change, open communication amongst those with differing views is essential. To support our community enjoys can only grow when we reach out to those who don't share our viewpoint. Now, for the record, mm-hmm. Aaron Schock has never apologized
For what?
Voting for his support of a federal amendment to ban same-sex marriage, or for supporting the military's ban on openly gay service members. He's denied being gay when asked in the press.
Has he ever said, though, in the press, like, looking back, like, I regret that vote?
No, he's never. And he's also, like, never come out of the closet yet.
And so
that's why. Once he comes out of the closet, he'll say
Jeremy
things.
Says, haters, attention. I invite you to join me in donating to the Victory Fund. I've donated $500. And, you know.
That seems like a low amount, considering how much money he portrays himself with having.
I don't know how much money he's got or doesn't have. We know some people who are dirt poor, and they're like the biggest Instagram influencers, and they live off
the free shit they get
from Instagram.
That's fair. Amen to that.
And they make it look like they have one room in their house that looks like a palace, and the rest has cockroaches and rats crawling all over
the
place.
But I do, you know, for people that aren't familiar with the Victory Fund, Victory Fund funds LGBT politicians who are running for office. So if you're gay and you're running for office, they'll support you.
And I typically guess all we're asking,
I hope they don't support Pete Buttigieg. I don't like him.
No?
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't like him.
All we're asking for is a simple apology. Yeah. We're not asking for anything else. Not a conditional apology. Not one, I'm sorry if blah,
I'm
blah,
sorry,
blah.
But.
So one that acknowledges the harm that he did.
Yeah.
So we can move forward and he can go to Coachella and suck all the dicks he wants.
Mm-hmm. I think that, first of all, there's no such thing as love hating someone. If you're following Kim Kardashian and you claim to hate her, you're a liar. You love her and you're jealous as fuck of her. That's why you're following him. No one follows. If you don't like someone, why are you paying attention to the things that they do? That makes no sense to me. That means you don't hate them. That means you actually love them.
And well, I kind of, you know, viscerally want to see what Aaron Schock is up to, you know?
Are you following Aaron?
No, but I search his profile and then I look and I'm like, this guy is so fucking nuts. You know, it's like,
but you know what? I don't follow the president
TV shows,
but like I watch the news. That doesn't mean I like him.
That's true.
I don't, you know what I mean? Like that whole, I just follow him because I like to make fun. That's bullshit. And if you're following anyone on Instagram or any social media and your whole thing is to just comment shit on them, please go find a therapist as fast as you possibly can, because clearly you hate your life and yourself and you're probably 2 minutes away from suicide. Please don't do that. But like, who has time to give a fuck about people that you claim to not give a fuck about? That is so stupid.
That's why you look old. Personality is,
listen, I know some people who are Republicans who listen to this show because they hate to love to listen to us talk.
No, that's not true. If you are a Republican and you listen to this show, it's because they probably want to suck both y'all's dicks. Like, probably. Y'all are handsome as hell.
Oh, thank you, Rachel.
That's why, like, who?
I didn't hear that last part. Can you
I said,
that?
Suck your dick.
No, because?
Because they want to suck your dick.
Because why?
Oh, because they're jealous as both of you, and they think you're probably handsome as shit.
I
say it all the time. I do not care for the Kardashian family at all. Guess how many shows, how many episodes of their shows I've watched?
None.
How many of them I follow? None. Not one.
So Halloween is just around the corner, and the point of Halloween for some people is to get laid. So they dress up as a sexy version of
whatever.
Yeah,
a sexy Target employee.
And you were saying.
It's the sexy ketchup bottle.
Well, how does that work?
You just got your tits out, you know.
You just wear like red lingerie.
Just cut a hole for your boobs to pop out.
If that's the case, just wear your drawers outside. If that's the case, just be a pussycat doll every year.
Mm-hmm. Now, your ideal Halloween costume was to be dressed up as the villain from the movie The Last Dragon.
Yeah, that sounds like
show
so much fun.
Enough.
Hell yeah. I feel like Halloween, like the whole point of Halloween, at least in my brain, is to dress up as something else and just have like fun, right? To me, walking outside with my clit hanging out is not cute. It is not amusing and it's cold. So I don't, that's not Rachel Allison Hall. She won't do that.
But see, the day that you get the sex that you want from doing that, you're going to change your opinion, maybe.
But I don't like, I'm not here for one night stands and empty sex. That is not for me. I've literally done it twice and I hated it.
Well, you dressed up as Steve Harvey one year. How was the sex like that?
Well, that wasn't for Halloween. That was just for a show. I was just doing an impersonation.
You dressed up as Steve Harvey? How'd that go?
It was awesome. So I had to, it was a lot of work because I have a lot of hair. So, and it was longer back then. So I had to braid my hair down. I had a bald cap. I put that on and did the whole makeup. I bought a mustache.
A dick tickler.
I bought a dick tickler. I went to a flavor saver, if you will. I bought a dick tickler. I bought, I went to the, thrift stores, and I bought like two Steve Harvey suits, like with the long ones. I bought a canary yellow one and a blue one, and I bought the tie. I did the whole nine.
And you walked around with like a Family Feud.
Yeah, cards. I did a show. It was it's like a secret show they do in out in Dallas. They have those everywhere.
Yeah.
Where like you have to text the number and then they'll tell you where to go.
It's in this attic and there's no fire escape. So if there's a fire, you're dead.
Yeah, best kind of comedy. So I did that and I did the whole spiel and I played Family Feud with the like that was my mm-hmm. thing. I like doing Steve Harvey. One of these days I'll do it on my show, Laugh-ish.
Well, you know, it's funny. I love watching the little clips of him on YouTube and stuff like that. But then, you know, as the host of the show, he's really funny. But then when you hear him in an interview and then he starts talking,
he can be
Christian
a little problematic.
Nonsense, you're just like, oh, Steve.
Well, he's like the person Steve Harvey is this like really regressive, very conservative Republican even right. person, you know, but the comedian is really funny and very playful and
he has his moments.
Invites people to be sexually outrageous on his show.
Yeah. He has
and
his
then
moments.
He reacts like, you guys are so dirty.
But this year, I don't know. Cause last year it was the year I moved here. Yeah. And so I was thinking about being Bernie Mac and I was also thinking about being shown up. But this year, honestly, I thought about it a lot and it's still one of the front runners. I was thinking about just being a Fox News correspondent. So I was going to put myself in white face and buy a blonde wig and a suit and just go as a white woman on Fox.
That'd be fun.
If you can pass for white woman, that would be very.
I tried.
Because otherwise you're just going to look like, you know, bad makeup.
Mm-hmm. No, I tried. I did the best I could. I remember in college because I was still doing like theater and stuff. Mm-hmm. And for our final, we had to do like some sort of like makeup transformation. So I was just like, I don't be white. So I did it. I got the right complexion and all that, but my lips are too big. My nose is slightly too. I still look like a black person.
Well, you got to contour your nose.
Contours.
Yeah. Do you understand how that works?
Yeah, I know that.
You
but
gotta
it's still
get that
it's
still crazy razor white.
And it's been a while. I haven't done it in a while, so maybe I'll try again. But
you draw an exclamation mark of
the
white
big,
on your nose.
The biggest giveaway is just my lips.
Well, you got to paint into the lip.
No, yeah, my lips are amazing.
Give yourself some tight Republican Stepford Wife lips.
Just look like you're
angry. Entire lips, just get rid of my whole top lip.
Now, what about dressing up as Oprah? You said that's not good. Why?
A, I don't want to. I get it. I'm fat. I don't want to dress up as Oprah. But also, I'm just going to look like I'm going to work.
And so people are like, oh, you had to work today.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you had to work today. I'm sorry. It's Halloween. That's
Diva of all divas, Beyonce.
Beyonce could work, but it would have to be like iconic Beyonce. So I could do the homecoming. I could do like the booty shirts with the thing. That could be fun, but everyone's doing that. Mm. But if I were to do a Beyonce, I would do like a Lemonade Beyonce. So I do like the yellow dress from like the Sorry video. So like the yellow dress and a baseball bat and a long blonde wig.
Yeah, but then people might start peeing on you thinking they're into water sports if they don't catch the reference.
No. Only if you're hanging out with gay people. But even then,
but no one's
going
to catch Shownuff unless you've seen The Last Dragon.
But he's hilarious. Like, you look at Shownuff and you start giggling because he's so over the top.
What about just getting a bodysuit and going as Lizzo? Or like a zombie Lizzo. Because it's Halloween, you want to be a little scary, right?
I mean, going as Lizzo could be a lot of fun.
Do her politics of self-love scare you enough already?
Going as Lizzo could be a lot of fun. I don't think I'm comfortable enough to be walking around with my booty all the way out like that.
No?
I don't.
Maybe you need to
I got
do
some
a
short shorts. I have like short shorts. I have some Ponte shorts, as Wendy Williams calls them.
What about
Ponte shorts?
Ponte?
Panty shorts.
Well, what about Wendy Williams about to collapse dressed up as a
I could go as Wendy Williams
and
Stephanie. That could always be fun and just walk around and pass out all the time.
Or Nicki Minaj, just get yourself a pink wig and act like an asshole.
Yeah, but I don't want to have my ass out like that. I'm not.
No, asshole.
I don't want my asshole out like that either.
What about dressing up as Mariah Carey? If you want to do a little bit,
so know. In my brain, I have a arsenal of celebrity impersonations that I think would work, but I would have to do the full thing. Mariah Carey is one of them.
Yeah.
Because it's not hard. I don't think it's hard to do Mariah.
Because you just put on the wig and you just don't.
I just put on the wig around. And honestly, I just put on a couple shades lighter makeup and I'm basically Mariah.
Yeah.
That one's not hard.
I don't have to do choreography.
I just have to hire someone to carry me around everywhere.
Yeah. A hot man.
I think the
gender bending costumes for you are like better.
That's Halloween.
Yeah.
That's do something that's not you.
But you're not going to get laid with that. I don't know, you might get laid.
Are you trying to get fucked on Halloween? That's how you get Bill Cosby.
So this is my husband. He's always like, since I've known him, he's like, Halloween, you want to dress sexy, you want to look sexy. Does this man in his sexy outfits ever get laid on Halloween?
No.
He never does. But, and I'm just like, you keep pursuing this, you keep wanting this. Like, if this is your motivation, you're always going to be dissatisfied when this comes. It's like, instead, why not just wear a costume you enjoy, have fun, meet people, that kind of thing. But
why
don't,
not both?
In your head, when you have the sole purpose of like, I'm going to go out, I'm going to be sexy, I'm going to get laid on Halloween. It's, you know,
the
it's,
most you're gonna get action, murdered on Halloween. The most sexual action I've ever gotten in a Halloween costume was when I dressed up as pandas. And baby, people were like,
because they wanted to hug.
They
you
were shoving their hard cocks against me. They were wiping my panda makeup off with their dicks.
Okay.
It was crazy.
Were you a panda, like with a full blown suit, like a cute plushie?
Yes.
Like a cute plushie panda?
So, yeah, it was
would you just body paint?
Furry outfit, and then the face was painted.
Oh, okay.
And like furry little ears and stuff. Well, I still got the costumes.
But you know what? A lot of people are furries. A lot of, you know, the whole furries thing.
We hung out with the furries, and it felt a little bit like being a drag queen at a transgender conference. Like, you were like, and passing.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
You weren't really what they were.
Yeah.
You know, you're not like when you're a drag queen, when you're a cisgendered man as a drag queen, it's, you know, it's, you're not a trans woman, you know?
Right.
But in some ways, you sometimes occupy that same space for some people in their mind. And so us being pandas, we weren't real furries because we didn't have the attention to detail that the furries had. But they still kind of accepted us as their own. Now, which is weird in that we did end up hooking up with one of them, right? And the weird thing about him is like he was a furry and he wore this furry outfit.
Did he not take it off?
No, he took it off. But the thing is like he was hairy underneath, but he shaved everything off. Which to me, like completely, like from the neck down, completely hairless. Which is weird, but then he put on a hair suit.
What? Why?
I know.
My men need hair. Like, I like men.
Beasts.
The only way I would be, like, sexed up or whatever is if I did drag. If Rachel Allison Hall was a drag queen, I'd be a sexy-ass motherfucking drag queen.
So which, like, would you be a drag in general, or would you try to pay tribute to an existing drag queen?
No, I'd be in drag in general. I don't know if I like me like copy someone else's look.
Yeah, like try.
No,
you know.
I would still want to do like my own look, but I feel like my drag persona would be sexy as shit because that's not who I am on an everyday basis. And I feel like drag is like pulling out that part of you that you normally are not.
Yeah, because you could recycle your Steve Harvey ball.
I'm normally funny. I'm normally so that's why.
Drag queen.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And then not smile for any photos and be like really miserable all the time.
Yeah, I mean that could be fun.
That could be.
Hell, I mean I can go as Monet. Shit, but but yeah, if I were to do drag, if I were a drag in my brain where I'm performing drag and I would be amazing at it. But yeah, she's super sexy. But like, I don't on an everyday basis. That's a lot of work.
Did you hear about the guy who's going through the TSA at the Rochester airport, right? He's going through, he's getting scanned or whatever. And then the woman who's working the line, the TSA agent, hands him this note, right? So he just kind of like takes the note. He's like, and then he just starts walking. And then she shouts out after him, "You gonna open that note?" And then he goes, okay, he opens it up.
I heard about that, but I know bad part.
Wait, then let Mark
and
tell.
Then the inside says, the note says, you ugly. And I guess he's just like, what? Like, this is so weird that, like, you know, not only did he hand her this note, that she made a point to, like,
say,
call him
hey,
out afterwards.
Read it.
And to read it and to look at it and stuff like that. And I don't know, what do you guys think? Do you think this guy's ugly?
That's hilarious.
Let's see. I can see the photo.
Here. We'll look right there.
So that's the TSA agent?
That's the TSA agent. She's
well, she probably knows him or something.
No, she doesn't know. She actually got fired.
For doing that?
Yeah.
Really?
There he is again. I mean, he's
just,
you know,
an average guy, but she got...
He looks a little sick.
But she's looking
face,
at him.
Though, but yeah, she got a close up and maybe she was...
They probably do shit like that all the time. It's just this is the one day it got caught.
Mm-hmm. But it's also just like... You know, did she just think it was a joke and just, you know, think it was kind of funny to do?
I wonder if someone else dared her to give that note to somebody and then she did it because, like, they bored. I can understand how boring it is to work at TSA. So she was bored and then they told her what it was and then he opened it and it was like, ah.
Well, the thing is, like, with, you know, being a TSA agent is like every day nothing happens, but you're always on your toes. For somebody who may have a bomb or a gun or something.
No,
you know?
If she was going to do something like that, if she didn't know, she should have done it during the whole government shutdown. Because if I was working for TSA government shutdown, you wouldn't be able to tell me shit because I'm not getting paid. So I'll do what the fuck I want.
Well, she worked for an independent contractor, one of those things. So she probably would have gotten paid eventually. Now, every now and then I come across these news articles where people are having sex on balconies and then they fall off. The balcony. And this recently happened to a guy in France. He was in the south of France and he's having sex with his girlfriend. They're about 12 feet off the ground, so it's not too far.
Okay, so they're like on the first floor.
So, and then they fall, but I guess he was like, he fell first, and then so and then she fell on top of him, so she wasn't too injured, but you know, still
injured.
So they
keep going
enough.
From there? No,
I wouldn't think so. I would think at that point in time they would probably stop.
God, I hope he didn't fall on his dick. That'd be awful. Why? I mean, I've seen my fair share of porn where people are like having sex out like on a balcony or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, why don't even
what
not
you
having
see
sex?
People having sex on a balcony.
Porn. You see what I mean? But like, I would never put my weight on the rail. I don't do that if I'm not having sex. I'd stay away from the rail because I don't trust that it's gonna fall. I don't.
I never lean against the rail on a balcony.
Never. So that's the only way I can assume that they're falling.
I was flirting with the muscle daddy on Facebook,
and
he was telling me he was going on a cruise ship the following week, and I said, "Oh, I bet you're gonna be trouble on that cruise." He's like, "You better believe it." And then I'm reading the news and he and his partner are arrested for having sex on their balcony when they were on at port in the island of Dominica, right?
Yeah,
the island of Dominica.
And he came on the show. He was like, he came back on our podcast and talked about it. You guys can go to the archives, feastoffun.com/plus, become a member, write to us. I'll send you the link to the interview. And it was such an interesting story about like how they almost went to prison in country island Dominica for fucking on their balcony.
Well, that's their fault. Why would you do it at port? You have to do that shit as the stuff is moving.
These
buildings, you know what I mean?
But the thing is, like, you don't realize these boats are like buildings.
Mm. Yeah.
They're super high and like
you're thinking no one can see me.
They need binoculars to see you. You know? So somebody with binoculars was like looking at the
and they caught that.
Yeah.
I will say every time I walk past like a taller apartment building or something at night and I see people with their windows open, which close your windows. I don't understand how people just leave their shit open all the time. Like that's the first thing I learned about moving into a new place is the first thing you do is you cover up your windows. But I always look and I'm like, one of these days I'm gonna see someone fucking in a window. Like that's,
I'm always looking for that when I'm over at a friend's house and it's like whatever, like, especially if they have a telescope or binoculars. I'm just like, somebody's gonna be going
one of
at
these
it.
Days.
Well, you know, one of those photo video stores in New York City, one of their best-selling items is telescopes so the neighbors can spy on each other.
And that's why you gotta close your blinds, people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen plenty of times.
If you're closing your blinds, it's because you have something to hide.
But see, you don't Mark want people to steal your stuff.
When we're walking around in New York City, we see plenty of people like, and this happens also in like in Lakeview and areas where sort of like younger, more attractive men, you know, more athletic men. Mm-hmm. Attractive comes in all shapes and sizes, but more athletic guys like to stand in front of their mirrors and have people go, "Ooh, he's so hot," you know. And part of it is like, I think there's a pleasure in sort of being seen.
Being seen. Yeah.
And seeing.
And caught.
Like, I can understand, like, if you're really high up, and I can definitely understand if you're in a hotel, but, like, up against the window, like, up against it, mm-hmm. that's completely different to me than if it's, like, just open.
Like, your titties plastic on the guts of glass.
And the bed is, you know, 6 feet that way. Like, it's kind of like, because at that point, then you got glare, and you got all this other stuff, and you probably won't be able to see anything anyway. Mm. But if you're, like, up in it, you're, like, up in it.
They want to be seen.
You want to be seen. You want people to see you.
That's part of the thrill.
And if that's the case, just go live on Pornhub.
You people can go live on Pornhub?
What? I don't know. Can you?
I don't know.
It seems like you can. It seems like you can go live on everything else. Eventually, we'll get a check.
Live on Pornhub right now.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be so good. You guys catch my podcast live on Pornhub.
So one of my Facebook friends, yeah. she's got a big butt, a really big butt.
Jealous.
And she does some dances and stuff and whatnot. And she's been posting on Facebook. She's like, "I don't know which one of you motherfuckers is posting my stuff on Pornhub, but it's there."
Will she get paid if she gets clicked enough?
No.
Somebody else did, right?
Mm.
So avocados, they're at the political center of controversies and debates happening today. The price of an avocado has doubled as a result of Trump's trade war with Mexico.
And they've had a bad harvest.
They've also been blamed to keeping from young people buying homes if they wouldn't be eating so much avocado toast.
That's not why.
But now research has actually drawn attention to a real public health problem, which they call avocado hand. I am a victim or a recipient or someone who's had stabbed their hands as a result of trying to make guacamole by using a knife to pierce the...
How are you people cutting avocados that you slice your hands open?
So I'm holding the avocado in my half of the avocado in my left hand, okay. The one with the pit, and you're using the knife to poke the seed to remove it out.
You and use the pointy end?
70% of the time, everything's fine, and even if it goes, you're not going to stab yourself. But one night, my sister was making some, you know, magic cookies and didn't tell me there were magic cookies. I had two of them. And then I was making guacamole and suddenly there's blood everywhere. But this is a real problem. 89,000 Americans go to the emergency room every year as a result of getting stabbed in their hands while removing the pit from avocados. Statistically, that's about 25 people every day.
I don't understand that. See, I've never in my life have heard. So, and it's so funny because when you, the story, mm-hmm. On my way here, I was coming back from the gym and I'm walking to the train and I see like one avocado on the ground. It's like right in front of the police station. And I was like, that's weird. There's an avocado. And then I walk a few more feet and there's more avocados. So I think someone's avocados from the store, from the Whole Foods around the street, probably were falling out of their bag and they didn't know it. Mm. And so I do love avocados, but I'm also poor, so I picked up all of those avocados. They're in my bag right now.
How many did you get?
Three.
That's like $7.50 worth of avocados.
Not my problem. Thank you, whoever.
I think that was some kind of ice, some trap laid out by ice. Maybe. Like, some Mexican's going to come and take these and we're going to grab them.
Probably.
Listen, you're joking, but I actually know people who are American citizens right now. Personally, a friend of my sister's in Texas has been arrested and is now because the ICE thinks they are undocumented immigrants. And I'm like,
this person is an American citizen.
This person is an American citizen, but ICE is like, well, that's a fake ID, blah, 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 you know?
Say what?
It's happening. There's a lot of records of actual American citizens being arrested by ICE. And even gentleman was sent, he had a criminal record, but nonetheless, he's an American citizen. He was sent to another country in the Middle East. He didn't speak the language.
He's never even been there.
He died, right?
And he died because he didn't have access to insulin. He had diabetes.
That's
it's terrifying.
America's on fire, but
Halloween is coming.
Right. Yeah. And then we can all just wear our clits out. But I've never in my life until this story have heard of anyone trying to take the pit of an avocado out with the point of the knife. That makes no sense to me.
It seems like a stupid thing to do.
You take the
right
and you just kind of pop it and you twist and pull it out. I've never heard of that before.
It's because you don't eat avocados all the time.
I eat avocados all the time.
How do you take it out?
That's why you're poor.
I'm poor because I'm American and I went to college and this country was not set up for anyone but.
How do you remove the seed of the avocado?
So I take my knife and I literally just kind of stick it in there and then I twist and pull it out.
She's making a gesture where she's stabbing her left hand with a right
but
hand.
But not with the pointy end. I literally just use the sling of the bait and I just pop it in there and I twist and pop it out.
I typically take the spoon and then kind of take it out with the spoon.
I'm so bad at using the spoon.
Really?
I'm terrible at it. You think I would be like the easiest thing in the world. For some reason, the spoon just makes no sense to me. But yeah, no, I just kind of like you were cutting anything else and I just kind of pop it in there and twist it out.
Is like sometimes those avocado seeds and stuff like that, sometimes they're harder than you expect.
That's true.
You know, and so it's harder to do, right?
So what experts are saying is cut the avocado in half, mm-hmm. and where the one half will come off and the seeds in the other one, and then cut that in half, and then the seed mm-hmm. pops off with your hand easily.
And for those of you out there who don't know, I know I've reported on this before, but they say that the reason why we have avocados like we do today and with that large seed inside of it is because during prehistoric times, they had these giant sloths, which are, you know, like regular sloths, but like 13 feet tall. And so they would eat the avocado whole and then they would shit the seed out and then the seed would make a whole new tree. And so they would spread the avocado everywhere because of that. And so if it weren't for like these giant sloths, we probably wouldn't have avocados today because that giant seed wouldn't have gotten spread any other way.
Thank you, giant sloths.
Yes.
Rest in peace.
Those things are so ugly. Sloths. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. They're so cute.
No, they're not.
They're so cute.
I thought you like a hairy man.
Man,
I saw one
human
one
being,
thing, and it's like this sloth, and it's out, and it's on this like it's above the canopy for whatever. It was getting some sun that day or whatever, and it was just out there. And then all of a sudden, this eagle comes along and just picks its ass up, takes it back
like a
to
baby sloth.
It was just a regular sloth, and just like you know, and carries it back to its nest. And they had a camera on the nest, and just she plunks it down, and so it's the sloth, all these little eagle babies, and then the mama eagle, and the sloth is just looking, just like. What the fuck is going to happen? And then I think the eagle just goes and like snaps its neck or something like that. And that's
good.
It.
Damn. That nature is brutal.
They're so
brutal.
Ugly.
They're not ugly.
They're so disgusting looking. They look like something that Tim Burton created.
Ugh. Rachel, where are you performing out at? And if someone wants to chase
Factory
you.
At 5:30 on Thursdays.
Yeah, so I have
Chase Me
Laughish, Chase right? Me. I have our show Laughish that we do on Instagram Live. So it's on the Laugh Factory Chicago fan page. We changed the name of it. So it's the Laugh Factory Chicago fan page. So we're there every Wednesday at 5:30. We go live for like an hour. We just have a bunch of different guests. So usually always comedians.
And you wear sexy outfits and stuff like that?
I wear whatever is clean.
you don't dress up like Oprah, but with your tits hanging out?
Nah, I tried at the beginning, and then I was like, eh. But yeah, no, it's me and then my co-host, Kay Bradford. Okay. And, you know, we always have, like, comedians on there. So last week we had Erica Nicole Clark, who opens for Hannibal Buress and all this other stuff. And
then
we
had
Thelonious Monk.
Junior.
Thelonious Monk. Oh. He is, I think he was like voted like Chicago's funniest comedian or whatever. He's at Zany's right now. He's absolutely hilarious. So we have like good people, Joey Villa Gomez. So we have like, you know, like A-listers. Joey is working with Bill Burr and all this other stuff. So, but we're Laugh Factory Chicago on Wednesdays at 5:30. The first Thursday of every month, we also have a full blown show at the Laugh Factory. So the next one will be whatever the first Thursday is in September. I think that's like the third or fourth or something like that. But that's at the Laugh Factory. Please, please, please come. I'll be performing there along with Matt Damon, who is an improv troupe here. And
the Matt Damon?
Not the Matt Damon.
That's the name of the improv.
The name of the improv troupe is Matt Damon.
Oh, so many people so thirsty trying to like latch onto somebody else's careers. We know, we used to have that in the early days of the podcast. People would name their podcast like Feast of Fools something something, and I was like, girl, we're not that famous for you to steal our
to
name.
Jump on. Yeah,
Matt Damon's pretty famous.
Well, they got it because did you guys ever see Project Greenlight, that show? Yeah, that they sure did. Yeah, yeah. So they're on the whatever the latest version of that was, which is a few years ago. He's on there and he's like the executive producer of it, right?
Oh wow.
And the other, there was only one other, there was only one black woman on there, and she was another producer. Her name was Effie, and they were having this meeting about the script that they chose to film. And there was like one black guy who's in it, and he's like an extra, and he was cast to be like the butler or something like that. And Effie was basically saying, it's fine that he's an extra, but I don't want the one black guy in the movie to be the butler. Like, just give him any other thing to do. I just don't want that. And then Matt Damon proceeds to mansplain to her why racism isn't a thing.
I remember that.
And
yeah,
whatever. So that's how they got their name, Matt Damon. And the way that their whole setup is really funny. Usama Siddiqui, who we started together in Dallas, and he was just on JFL's Just for Laughs and all that other stuff. So our next show is going to be pretty lit. But if that's too far away from you, on August 25th and September 1st at 6 o'clock at the Laugh Factory, at Second City, I will be there and you guys should come. The show is called Postmortem. Please come.
Or you'll die.
And that's improv?
It is. Stand-up? I'm going to be doing stand-up, but we're also having improv. And it's an event of a day. And if you think I'm funny, you should come. And if you like to love, hate, follow me, then you should come too.
And let's say somebody has a friend who's a straight male, because that's what you're looking for in life, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm always looking for... they just don't like me.
What's the best way to get a hold of you?
They don't like me.
Stop talking that way.
Instagram, Facebook, where do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, send dick pics to Rachel through Instagram.
I'm Rachel Hall is funny on everything, including the Cash App. And if you really want to get my attention, do that, because a bitch is poor and this account has been negative for I don't know how long. So Rachel
Hall
been
chasing
funny.
Avocados for a while.
Well, I mean, when you drop them on the ground,
ICE is going to deport you, honey. It's like,
that is a fear. I'm so scared that ICE is going to come to me, my clearly black ass,
I had a
and deport me to some country in Africa, and is the place I've never
been. Which country would you want to go to?
If they're going to deport me somewhere in Africa, please take me to South Africa. I wouldn't mind Morocco. That would be fun. Honestly, Ghana, that would be great. I would go there. I'd go to Nigeria, but it'd take...
Where wouldn't you want to go?
The Congo.
They have a cure for Ebola now, I think. So.
I don't care. I don't want to go. No. I don't want to go to any of those middle countries where I'm going to get killed by militia.
Oh, no.
I want to get
I'm going to get deported, I want to go to a bougie place with universal health care, good support structure.
Right.
Know.
I mean, but, you know, it's connected. I can get out there. Worst come to worst, you can deport me to, like, don't deport me to Haiti. Not that I have anything against Haiti. It's just, you know, economically,
they
they're low.
Don't be hating on Haiti.
And I don't speak Creole. I would love to speak Creole, but I don't speak Creole.
You pick it up.
Shit.
Did you ever study French?
No. Spanish? Apparently my dad spoke Creole, but I don't.
How did he speak Creole? Is he from Louisiana or something?
I mean, he's from Houston, so that's basically the same thing.
Okay.
But he also spoke Farsi because he used to live in Iran. So.
Oh, really? What was he doing in Iran?
Army. And then after that was over, he was just over there working for the royal family.
Oh.
Damn. He knows all this bougie shit.
None of that shit rubbed off on me. I can barely say hola. So
your dad knows what it feels like and looks like to be a billionaire.
Yeah, he saw palaces. He knew what was up.
Damn.
I've never experienced that. So honestly, you can deport me to somewhere in the Middle East. I'll take an Arabian prince. Give me that oil money. I will be your Janet Jackson.
Anytime I ever read in the news about like insanely crazy rich people, one thing they all share in common is their love for exotic animals. They always got to have a zoo
somewhere.
Yeah, a zoo, a fucking peacock.
I feel like that's it's when you horrible. Know they're crazy, though. The ones yeah. with the exotic animals are the ones that are most crazy.
That's when you know Michael Jackson well, lost it. Is when
Bubbles?
He's got, yeah.
When was he got Bubbles? That yeah, monkey. That was that, yeah.
Well, if, what kind of exotic animal would you have if you were super rich?
A lion.
You would?
Yeah.
Male or female?
A female one. I don't need a real one. I need a male lion. I want a female lion. They're nicer.
What about you, Mark?
What kind of wild animal would I have? I don't know.
I'd take a tiger, too.
I love those little marmosets.
I wouldn't want them to be, you know, suffering. Caged up. It would have to be
something
where it's
like... I take an elephant. I take all that back. I want an elephant. I would take an elephant. I love elephants so much.
I don't. I was attacked by an elephant once. Oh. When I was younger, I was at the zoo, and it was in an enclosure, and I leaned down to give it some grass. I was going to pick some
like
grass.
Like a big elephant or a baby elephant?
Oh, it was a big elephant.
Oh, okay.
And, then it took its trunk and wrapped its trunk around my neck. And had I not had self-defense training, it was able to push the trunk off me and use my body weight to move away from it. It probably would have just grabbed a hold of my neck and just swung me in the air and broke my neck and killed me.
Maybe it was just trying to pick you up so you can get on his back.
Maybe, but I doubt it.
Or trying to murder you.
But, you know, another time, though, I was standing, by the elephant enclosure, and this girl was, teasing it with a peanut, and so it was in the water, at a pool, and she'd offer it the peanut, and then he'd stick his tongue out, and then she'd take it away, and then she'd do it again, and so she did it to him, twice or something like that, and so she didn't realize that he had a whole trunk full of water in his nose. He
blew it at her.
And so he just blew it right at her, and she got totally soaked, and I got soaked, too, because I was right behind it, so it wasn't just water. It was water mixed with elephant snot.
Yeah.
I mean, she had it coming, but
I love it when I see animals do that kind mm-hmm. of stuff.
Because they're smart.
That's so fucking funny.
You know, they're smart. And if they had, thumbs like us, they might be ruling the planet instead of us.
Yeah. We would
Planet
have to
of the Apes.
Speak elephant, which is always very guttural and deep.
Mm.
They have a complicated language just like we do. We just don't understand it.
I mean,
it's true.
They're like,
ugh. I feel like my voice is guttural and deep, so maybe that's why we don't understand each other.
You're sisters. Soul sisters.
Sisters.
Tomorrow is the season finale of Pose. Afterwards, we're going to be doing a special podcast wrapping up season 2 of our favorite television show, RuPaul's Drag Race. Folks on the internet, one forum, they're like, do you think RuPaul might be making it? And people are like, hell, motherfucker, no.
Have you seen that one meme? It's a picture of Ru and a picture of Billy Porter, mm-hmm. and it just says, when one supreme rises, the other one falls.
Yeah.
And I was like, ow, but
that's
yeah.
so true.
I live for Billy Porter. I think he's Jesus. I think he's everything.
He's amazing. But, he has been around for a while. He's got a mm-hmm. song on the soundtrack for First Wives Club,
which I didn't realize. Love me some First Wives Club. Mm-hmm. I might go watch that today.
Work. Pose.
I don't know what the final finale of Pose has in store with us, because I still can't get over Candy. So.
I think we're gonna get another death. I think Peppermint's gonna die. I think it's gonna be a serial killer out there killing the trans,
I don't see
trans
that
sex worker.
So you want to know what the do you want a spoiler?
Oh, do you know?
Do you know?
A little bit. I follow things a lot closer.
Well, before you spoil, I want to remind folks that we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus, because your contribution to the show is what makes this show happen.
Yes.
Wouldn't be able to talk to fine people like Rachel if it weren't for you. Or join us on Patreon at patreon.com/feastoffun.
Honey, on Patreon is all the dirt, all the juicy stuff. So India Moore.
I love her.
Who plays Angel.
God, is she
Evangelista,
beautiful.
Puerto Rican, gender non-binary actor.
She's going to get fired. I feel like she's going to get fired.
Things are hitting the fan because one of her fans from the ballroom dancing scene clocks her and is going to be blackmailing her. Ooh. And Dominique Jackson as Elektra is having none of it. And we are going to be treated to some juicy final moments, but it's going to be a cliffhanger for season 3.
We'll see. For sure.
Well, because I think, you know, the her whole storyline with Angel is you know, probably loosely based on Tracy Africa's story. She was a trans model, and she did a lot of stuff for, I believe, L'Oreal hair color.
Miss Claire Rollman?
Miss Claire Rollman. Yeah.
Is that the black woman that's on the side of the Dark and Levy block? Or she was on the Dark and Levy? That's what I thought that she was after.
Yeah,
after.
And so she, you know, she was working as a model, and then somebody clocked her in one of the photo shoots, and then she was just like, she lost all her jobs after that. Now, recently in the past, I want to say about 3 years ago, they brought her back and they were like, you know what? You know, we're sorry that ever happened to you, and you're our model again.
I just think all the women on Pose are amazing. And I don't see how anyone can ever clock any of them.
Who are you most excited when she pops up on the screen?
Dominique.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dominique Jackson, hands down. Fuck the world.
When I first saw her, I immediately was like, because I didn't have watched it live or whatever. So I paused it and I immediately looked it up and I was like, who is this fucking Naomi Campbell, Grace Jones?
Sade.
She's. Oh my God. I mean, they're all fucking gorgeous, mm-hmm. but Dominique, my God.
How tall is she?
She's six two.
She's statuesque.
She's Grace Jones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's Grace Jones and Naomi Campbell had a child.
Do not try it,
Ken. And knows how to read someone for film.
That last episode was everything. She was just like, drink your water.
Lubricate. Mama.
Read that bitch.
As good as all that was, her whole speech and stuff like that, I really loved it at the end. And I think it's Angel at the end. She's like, go get your clam chowder before your clam chowder gets you.
God may have blessed you with Barbies, a backyard with a pony, and a boyfriend named Jake, and an unwanted pregnancy that your father paid to terminate so you could go to college and major in being a basic bitch. But none of these things make you a woman. Your uniform of ill-fitting J. Crew culottes, fake pearls, and 50-cent scrunchies cannot conceal the fact that you do not know who you are.
The only other reads that I can think of on film that are just as wonderful are Meryl Streep and Devil Wears Prada, that whole
exchange.
Yeah, that mm-hmm. whole from a pile of stuff. Like mm-hmm. that whole thing, mm-hmm. just like, oh, mm-hmm. my God. Just read it.
The thing is most people don't give people the opportunity to allow themselves to be read. They always want to interrupt their reading.
Oh, well, yeah. Nowadays, so, for sure.
You have to just sit back and let it come out.
But I think it depends on who's doing the reading, because there are some people you mm-hmm. wouldn't dare cut off. I don't care who you are. Another version of me used to be way more of an asshole, and I've read people, but I think there has to be a little bit of mm-hmm. an intimidation mm-hmm. thing, because sure. I know for a fact that you're not cutting me off.
Mm.
Good luck. You're not cutting me off. I will win, period.
You do not want my undivided attention.
You don't want me to be you don't want me to be on the bad side. You really don't.
What do you think about in Pose when they do those anachronisms, when she calls her a basic bitch? Because that's kind of new,
and right. I'm just kind of like, yeah.
It takes you. But
it reminds me that it's still Ryan Murphy.
Yeah, yeah. Or when she's like, "Wind tour is coming."
Yeah, that I was just like, boom. That was one of those lines. I was just kind of like,
you know,
I get it.
Yeah.
The episodes that are, you look at the titles, the ones that are written by, that are not, there's the Ryan Murphy episodes, and then there's the
Janet Mock
and Lady J.
And
Lady J, yeah.
Janet Mock is dating the actor who plays Little Poppy, whose real name is Angel. I'm sure that gets confusing.
It gets
on the
confusing.
Set. And then Little Poppy is dating the character named Angel, who's played by India Moore.
Poppy is fine.
And you know, he got into the gym for second season.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
He got a personal trainer that's just like, you are going to get big.
Janet Mock is beautiful.
Mm.
Beautiful. I'm inspired. She ain't been on the show yet.
She's the producer and writer.
No, but on it.
No, she's the one who's pulling the strings. You see?
Yeah.
It's what is it?
She might get a cameo.
She might
one of these days.
You might see her on the judges' table up there. Yeah.
She's ironically, from what I understand, actually, that Janet Mock is actually a very private person,
mm-hmm.
and she's a very much of a thought leader. And so, you know, the success of Pose. I mean, the thing about it is, just like, you know, the first five seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race, and you know, you can even argue now RuPaul's Drag Race is becoming this juggernaut. Viacom has merged with CBS. So RuPaul's Drag Race is one of...
Viacom is with CBS?
CBS. RuPaul's Drag Race is one of CBS Television's top shows. Let that sink in.
I love RuPaul's Drag Race, but I do feel like coming up soon, they're going to have to stop for at least 5 years.
Why? Why?
Because you can burn out a show.
Absolutely. Well, look at The Simpsons. They're not going anywhere.
But you they know, should.
Those Real Housewives bullshit, all that stuff.
And
they're going to run it to the ground.
But it's already at the ground.
Honey, you can go deeper.
At a certain point, you're going to run out of drag queens worth putting on camera.
There's plenty of basic bitches.
That happened 5 years ago.
Yeah, you could put more basic bitches than last season. You could shove more. It's like,
Do RuPaul executives listen to this? Because I've always had an idea.
Absolutely.
I've always had an idea. Listen, people.
Yeah. Well, okay. This might not make the final edit, but spill it.
Okay, this is in my brain. This is always going to be this should have happened a long time ago. There should be a season of RuPaul's Drag Race called Rudemption, and you take all the girls that either went home first or second and put them up again and give them another chance to do all of that.
That already has been discussed. That's a concept that's been tossed around.
Not all stars. I don't need to be all stars because they're not all stars.
You will see Akasha. Are you listening to me? Are you listening, Rachel?
What?
Are you listening? You're not listening. You are not listening.
I think that'd be a good
idea. That concept has been tossed around blogs and forums for the last decade.
And they should do a whole season of nothing but the Thick and Juicies.
Mm.
A whole nothing of that.
And
just a whole season of
about who gets to eat at the buffet at the end of the show.
And they could have everyone come back. They can have Stacey Lane Bryant Masterson come back. When Ru called her Stacey Lane Bryant,
she's a regular listener of the show.
She was expected. She thought she was going to be
on
All
Stars.
All Stars, and they like
she should
like,
be.
And they're like, oh yeah, we're going to have you on, but just as a guest, you know. And
yeah, so they she needs to be on there.
And she was a little disappointed, but she did spill some good tea on the show.
They need Pork Chop on there. I love Pork Chop. I think Pork Chop has always been my favorite queen of all.
Every Pork Chop has its frying pan.
I love me some Pork Chop. But they should have a big girl season because Rue's not going to let one win on a regular season. And I think they should have a Rudemption. First and second.
I hear you. Your opinions are not unique.
My opinions are always unique because I'm the only one that's ever said them.
You're like every other fan of RuPaul's Drag Race thinks that they're the ones who discovered it. And that's what's interesting about queer
RuPaul
culture.
RuPaul will be nothing without me.
Like Eat Pose. Like Pose and you know, this podcast and everything. It's like, you know, the successful programs work well because the audience feels like they have a one-on-one intimate connection with it. And you know, and that's part of it is when we don't see ourselves reflected in the mainstream culture, these kind of programs become very special and endearing to us. Now, as we start seeing LGBTQ people more and more accepted into mainstream, then the passion, the magic is gone, you know? And in some ways, seeing drag queens all over the place, it doesn't make RuPaul's Drag Race as special.
Well, because they're always from New York. It's the same. You're going to tap out everyone from New York.
They did not have a girl from New York for a couple of different seasons, or they just had like one or two
Like New York, New York. New York, LA, New York, New York, New York. The fact that Evie is from Denver, no, it's different. You know what I mean? So pull some more out. Dallas has always had some amazing queens.
They do.
Rachel Hall, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate you. Glad to be on. Glad
to have you with us. Rachel Hall is funny.
We're available anywhere. We're good podcasts are found. Subscribe, share the show with your friends, folks. We appreciate your love and support. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Peace, nigga.
Did you just say the N-word?
I did, because I can't.
Oh, my God.